From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR Performance Studio, out in support of a brand new record called Ancient Noise, is Patrick Sweeney. Hello.
Hello, Eric. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for stopping by and visiting with us.
My pleasure.
The new record, as I mentioned, Ancient Noise, is referred to, depending on where you're doing your research, as either your seventh or eighth full-length release.
It is my eighth full-length release.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are originally from Ohio, correct?
Yep.
A town that I don't think I can pronounce.
Massillon, Ohio.
Massillon, Ohio.
Home of the Tigers.
I'm glad you said that, because the first song that I think I can recall us playing of yours was Tiger Pride.
Oh.
And I didn't know the reference, and I do now.
Yeah. It's my town and the neighboring town are the oldest football rivalry in the country, and they're two high school teams, but it's this just insane football culture. It's amazing.
How's the record? Are you up or down?
Oh, as far as
wins and losses?
I think Massillon's up.
Yeah?
I think, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So when did you leave Ohio? You live in Nashville now, right?
Yeah, I've been in Nashville for 10 years, actually. 10 years last month, end of last month. So, yeah, it's 10 whole years.
Just feel like home? Have you been there long enough?
Yeah, no, we definitely have. It's definitely home. You know, my wife and I were lucky enough to buy a house about 4 years ago. And, you know, we got in our neighborhood at the last minute as Nashville has just exploded. So yeah, I feel really lucky. And, you know, we got us a nice little corner of the world.
I was just watching a video of someone shooting from across the street of the Ryman, watching all of the high-rises go up on every site.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Like, the skyline is completely different from when I moved there.
Hmm.
And, you know, all the development, too, has happened in a really short period. Like, for the first couple years I was there, there wasn't that large influx of construction and things like that. It was fairly steady. I mean, it seemed like it was a busy town, but I could get from east side to west side in 15 minutes. And I mean, just if the highway was slow, we just hit surface streets.
Yeah.
Now that just doesn't exist.
No, it's like Los Angeles East, huh?
Yeah. Not quite that bad, but it's getting there.
Well, you have brought in an acoustic for us today.
Indeed.
I would love to hear a tune. What do you want to start with today?
Well, I'm gonna with the new record. I'm gonna do a cut off of it called "Get Along."
Cool.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Get along, ooh-wee, baby, get along. Got to be tough and be strong. Stand through the weather, hold it together. Always, forever, get along. Oh, baby, get along. Got to be tough and be strong. Stand through the weather, hold it together. Always, forever. Work those hours, keep it coming in. Keep up with the Joneses, keep the struggle in. Don't give a reason that you work so hard. Keep them home fires burning. Don't you douse the spark. Made that lady a promise, why would you take it back? Why would you let it slide away? Sorry as a burned out shack. Grows older, routine sets in. Remember that your lover, that's your bestest friend. All time love is a gift to share. Don't you share in the happiness? Watch it disappear. get along. Ooh-wee, baby, get along. Got to be tough and be strong. Stand through the weather, hold it together. Always, forever get along. Oh, baby, get along. Got to be tough and be strong. Stand through the weather, hold it together. Always, forever get along. Oh, baby, get along. Got to be tough and be strong. Strong, stand through the weather. Hold me together, I'll wait forever. Hold me together, I'll wait forever. I'll wait forever, I'll wait forever. I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll.
Right on. That is Patrick Sweeney playing live for us today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Get Along is from the new album called Ancient Noise, out on 9 Mile Records, and technically kicks off side B of the new record. I like how you've done that on the back. It's for all of us old timers that actually remember vinyl.
Man, I learned to play that way, and I learned to listen that way, and it just makes more sense. And honestly, it's you know, the demand for vinyl is really wonderful. I mean, people are, I mean, we're playing shows and selling records.
Yeah, people are buying actual physical stuff again.
Yeah, it's really helpful. And by that I mean essential.
Yeah. I'm really glad you mentioned it's the way you play, because you do play with a rather unique style. You've got a couple of finger picks.
Yeah.
It is a little different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about this.
Well, my dad is a fingerstyle guitar player, and he always plays with a thumb pick and two metal finger picks, and that's just the way I learned. And I've been doing it so long now, I've never had a reason to use what it was written, essentially a flat pick. So I was always very interested as a kid of like, my dad had a lot of, like, Pete Seeger, was really into Pete Seeger and lots of folk stuff, and that sort of opened the door to Lead Belly, and he had Lead Belly records. And when Lead Belly was a guy named Hughie Ledbetter, he was sort of this amazing songster, blues person, played a gigantic 12-string guitar, but he did these things like I'd never heard. Doing that walking bass, I mean, I'd heard that on, like, Fats Domino records, but I never heard it, so. And then Dad showed me that you could do, like, things like you play this kind of boogie-woogie bass line, to sort of emulate the piano, or you know, when you're playing songs like Dad showed me how to play, like, songs like Railroad Bill or Freight Train, like, and being able to hold the bass down and play the melody, I just thought that was the most magical thing in the world. And so it just stuck.
So he was a folk player primarily.
Yeah.
So what was it that drew you initially to blues as a foundation?
Well, directly from Dad, you know, because he had a lot of the stuff that was of kind of the bluesier folk stuff. I mean, there was all sorts of great stuff and old time music and Irish music and I mean, straight up just tons of Kingston Trio records. He loved them in college when they were there, and you know, and just socially, just learning to sing. You know, and songs I could sing with Dad, or sing, you know, like, because, I mean, I didn't have any friends or anything that were into, like, music at all. And, you know, it just seemed weird and square to them. And, I mean, I didn't know. I was a kid, so I just thought, this is cool. And, it was, you know, it was just fun. You know, my brother, I have an older and younger brother, and they liked music, but they weren't into learning how to play. And so it was just purely just hanging out with my dad and just something to do. It was really the whole voice of it, but I started, you know, I heard Lead Belly and I thought, wow, this is crazy sounding ancient caveman music. I don't know. I don't understand this at all. So it took me a little bit to understand that. And then I saw a picture of Lightnin' Hopkins on a record and put that on. And I was like, what is this? What is this? Like, this is like the coolest looking person I've ever seen. And this looks nothing like me. There's, you know, like, he was just like this space alien of cool. And then I hear that voice and hear that guitar. And I'm just like, oh my God, I want to be that. I want to do that. And then but it just seemed like a distant thing, like an impossibility. And then I digging through my dad's collection, I see this record, John Hammond Jr.'s first record. Mm. And he's on the front of it, man. He's got cool hair. He still has cool hair. But, but you know, he's this cool-looking white guy with, you know, with cool hair and this awesome jean jacket leaning against the wall, just looking like, man, like guitar-playing Fonz. Like, yeah. I'm just like, you know, an 11-year-old kid just to have something like, all right, well, here's the thing. This is, I can do this because I can, you know, I'm not cool now, but I bet you I could get a jacket, you know, you know, I could get a cool haircut, you know, that's all within, you know, square, weird white kid in Northeast Ohio. That's within the realm of possibility. And to hear him playing acoustic guitar and playing all this, you know, really funky old blues stuff, I was just like, that was it. Mm-hmm. And through that, you know, my dad had Jim Queskin records and Dave Van Ronk records, and that would just blew my mind. Hmm. And then that opened the door to hearing guys like The Real Thing, Robert Johnson, Son House, you know, Mississippi John Hurt, Reverend Gary Davis was a big, big influence on me and yeah. the way I pick and the way I hold chords.
Well, you've done well musically. You've also done well with your hair.
Thank you.
Looks great now.
Thank you.
So you figured it out?
I wish you could see it out there, Radio Land. It looks great today.
I want to talk about the opportunity that you had to record this record. Pretty fascinating record studio. Before we get there, though, let's talk a little bit about gear. I know that you are a bit of a gear guy, and especially as it applies to amps and electric guitars. I know you have an acoustic in our studio here today, but you have intentionally made modifications to your electric guitars to kind of replicate some of those sounds that you were just talking about from those records.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, as far as gear, I'm endorsed by Fender Musical Instruments, and I think they're making fantastic, fantastic instruments. And they're like, the amplifier I play on the road now is the 57 Custom Tweed Pro, which they haven't made in 50 years, and I mean, it's great. It's like it's having a brand new old amplifier, and it just has that character and that thing that, you know, all those great records sound like. You know, the guitars, I like the sound of P90 pickups, which are a very hot single coil pickup. That just have that old sort of raunchiness and things. I work with the Lawler pickups out of here in the Pacific Northwest. They they've reproduced the old DeArmond gold foil pickup, which is this like the pickup that Lightning Hopkins used. That all these old cool old sounds, and we're on a bunch of like what would essentially be budget type guitars, but they have this amazing thing that also works so well with finger style guitar that they just do their sort of microphonic, so you can really approach, you know, attack, and the way you hit the string is really expressive. But I could go on and on. I mean, if we want to talk about the recording amps, you know, the old vintage stuff.
Yeah. Are you the kind of songwriter, the kind of musician that is inspired to start coming up with ideas after hearing or making a specific sound?
Well, yes, definitely.
Yeah, like could you tweak a couple of knobs and strum and go, ah, and all of a sudden the ideas start coming because of what you just heard?
Yeah, it's definitely happens that way. I wouldn't say that's always the formula, but it's always, you know, the finding the riff or whatever it is. It's always a very small fragmented piece, like some sort of either be it a lyrical phrase that has some melody attached to it, or like even a rhythmic type thing that's attached, has a little bit of melody to it. And so I you know, I'll assemble that either little guitar riffs or things like that, or little, you know, if I don't have a guitar with me, you know, every songwriter does it now. You just sing it into your phone, and you know, sort of go through and filter through the toddler moaning and, you know, fart noises that I make that they're trying to approximate, you know, what I want to hear later on. And but I absolutely, you know, there's just certain instruments, you know, I've used on all the records that just have that thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have an old 58 Gibson J45 that I've wrote almost all the records on it, and it doesn't leave the house anymore except to go to the studio, point A to point B, you know, because it was a working guitar that I gigged with, and you know, it was my first nice guitar. I bought it, and now they're worth money. So I'm like, terrifying, but it's you know, it's an old guitar, and they have songs in them.
Right. Patrick Sweeney is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. His latest album is called Ancient Noise, out on 9 Mile Records, and he's live in our studio. What do you want to play next for us?
I think I'm going to play a song called Country Lovin'.
On your feet, not enough sleep. The day ahead is long and scuffling. Not enough time, Lord, to do what you need. Feel like it's good for nothing. Turning on the autopilot. What you need is peace and quiet. See your sleep-tossed head at the top of the stairs, trying to let the morning sun in. Don't know where to begin. It's like a soft summer wind. They used to call it country loving. I'm feeling alright. See you after work tonight. Make me feel so good. Make me wanna holler out loud. Oh, you can be my guest. Giving you my best. Things that last for years, you rarely hear about them till they're gone or falling. Old time ways are gonna stay. They left looking for a higher calling. Turn on the songs, your dads and moms. Records, man, they're really something. If it's got that feel of a love that's real, they used to call it country loving. Country loving.
That is fantastic. It's Patrick Sweeney playing live for
Thank
us
you.
Today here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Ancient Noise, out on 9 Mile Records. You can get information and see and hear a bunch more at Patrick Sweeney, SWEANY.com. Thanks for playing that one.
Oh, thank you, man. Beautiful. I love to play the ballads. You know, you don't always get, you know, with, you know, on tour with the band, and you know, people want to rock and roll, and I want to rock and roll, but I love playing and love writing the ballads.
Well, they work great in our room.
Well, yeah.
Thanks very much.
Beautiful here, by the way.
Well, we hinted at the studio. And if you were going to make a record that has shades of some of the early influences of rock and roll, where are you going to go?
Well, it turns out a great place to start is Memphis, Tennessee at Sam Phillips Recording.
Yeah.
The dream studio of the man who invented rock and roll.
Not a bad choice.
Yeah.
How did that come to be? How'd you end up getting there?
Well, we had taped a TV show, like a PBS show, at Sun Studios.
Also not a bad place to go.
Not a bad place at all in Memphis. It was a series they were producing from there. And Matt Ross Spang was the engineer at the time, and he was running that studio. And I'd walked in, and I just figured it would just be they'd have like a Pro Tools rig, it's the room, and you know, because they do tours all day and things like that. And it's still the space is the same, but you know, it's you know that gear's not there. I mean, you know, that's but we load in, and we load in past the control room, and I see all these green Altec compressors and all this stuff, and I said, hey man. Like, this is different from when I was here last time. What's going on? And Matt's like, oh, you like this stuff. And then I was, you know, he immediately was just like, hey, this is what we're doing. And I'm, you know, he's been, and then he mentioned that he had works with the Phillips family. And he's like, yeah, we're really trying to get exactly the right equipment in here. And he was making records. So we did this, you know, we did the show, we did the taping, and it was, you know, just one night, you know, that we were there. And, Matt and I just struck up a friendship, and he recorded, I think later that year, he recorded Margot Price's debut album at Sun Studio there. And Margot and her husband Jeremy have been good friends to me and my wife. They were sort of the only married couple, like, in our little social circle there in East Nashville. So, you know, so it was... you know, just sort of gravitate toward each other. And we played some, you know, her and Jeremy's band, Buffalo Clover, we played some shows together, you know, around, you know, the Five Spot and things like that, fairly, you know, early on. And when we moved to Nashville, and people started to get hip to Matt, and we kept saying, man, we got to work together sometime. Then he called me up and said, hey, man, I'm working out of Phillips Recording. You need to come see this joint. And I went there and I visited, and it was just, I mean, it's like seeing Santa Claus's workshop, but for rock and roll. I mean, this mythical thing, every single light switch, every light bulb, every piece of acoustic panel is Sam's design, you know, but it's still so vibey and funky. It was just this perfect place just a very comfortable place to perform in. And then the sound of that room is like no other place I've ever been. And the vibe in there is like no other place I've ever been. So I called up my partner, the guy who is responsible for me having a career, Rick Pierick of 9 Mile Records. I said, Rick, we have to figure out a way to do this record here. And he said, okay. I mean, I've had this like moving experience, and Rick is just that. He's like, well, okay, let's do it. We'll find a way. And we found a way. And it was, yeah, I don't know. You always talk about your record as the best thing you've ever done, but I really, truly believe that this is, man, everybody was really just at their full potential at the time when we did this. And I really feel really, really proud of this record, you know, and being able to collaborate with the cats that are on it. For one, Charles Hodges of the Reverend Charles Hodges that you may have heard on all the Al Green records that you love, you know, and Peeble, all the high rhythm stuff, if you heard beautiful B3 organ come out of Memphis, it was Chance Hart, was Charles.
And now you've got him.
And he's on the record, and he was just the kindest, most spiritually soothing person I've ever met. Just as absent, but an absolute, there was no ego in that room. I mean, Ken Coomer, who's made thousands and thousands and thousands of records, both as a drummer and producer and things like that. I mean, he was, you know, he was in Wilco. Like, I mean, he was just and turned out to be just a great friend. Ted Pecchio on bass, whose resume, I think he's, you know, the most underrated bass player in our country. He's been a friend for a long, long time, and he's done long. He came up through the Colonel Bruce Hampton school, you know, of that Southeastern, you know, real rhythm and blues heavy, but, you know, all the way to Sun Ra kind of expression, you know, really. And, you know, he's worked with Susan Tedeschi. He was worked with Doyle Bramhall for a while, and just, and everyone, Amy Helm. I think he just did a record with John Popper. I mean, he's just, you know, he's just so funky. And he's a great, great friend. So that was, and, you know, everyone got a voice on this record. I usually come in with a pretty clear set. This is how the song goes. This is where the arrangement goes. And I just came in. I came in with the songs, but, you know, I always have tempos. I usually write to a tempo just so, you know, there's enough room to vocal phrase and so you don't run out of breath trying to, you know, sing, you know, a Bob Dylan line or something like that where you're trying, you know, or saying too much. And it was really freeing to have to be able to just let go and, like, say, let's try this, let's try that. And we finished a day early, which I've never done on a session, ever. We were out of material. It was just like everything went so smoothly and so effortlessly.
It's nice to have a band like that.
Oh,
huh?
It sure was. Sure was.
Well, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh,
thanks
I'm
so much
glad
for
to
stopping.
Be here. Oh, man, this is beautiful.
Patrick Sweeney is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. That new record, which you just spoke about, is called Ancient Noise. 9 Mile Records is the label. You can find out information online, patricksweeney.com. He's here in our studio with an acoustic today, and you've got one more tune for us, yeah?
Yes.
What do you want to wrap up with?
I think I'm going to do... I think I'm going to do the blues shouter off the record, the Up and Down.
Cool.
We're going up and down. Ava and Ava. Ava and Ava. It's the same old thing. Up and down. Over and under. Under the radar. Over everything. Where are we going up and down? Same old thing, up and down, over and under, under the radar, over everything. Well, I've been playing through the changes, shouting hard to stay key, rolling down the keys of the highway, cause a mountain man, it don't come to me. That's why we're going up and down, over and over, over and over. It's the same old thing, up and down, over and under, under the radar, over everything. All right, baby. Up in the attic, we're going up and down, over and over, over and over. It's the same old thing, up and down, over and under, under the radar, over everything. Look out, baby. All around, that's why we're going up and down, over and over, over and over. It's the same old thing, up and down, over and under, under the radar, over everything. Well, I'm turnkey, baby, and I'm ready to run.
ready to run. Ooh, I'm ready to run.
That is Patrick Sweeney playing live for us today here on Jefferson Public Radio. His latest release is called Ancient Noise. You can find information online at patricksweeney.com. It's very cool stuff to hear and to watch.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming by, man. It's nice
to
meet you.
Thank you for having us. This is, I mean, as an independent artist, like these things are like lottery winnings to people like me to get to reach your audience and to do this. I mean, it's an honor and a thrill, and I'm just so glad that we can make this happen.
Thanks so much.
On such a beautiful, beautiful day in your beautiful city.